Keep the Sabbath Day, Elder L. Ray L. Christensen, L. Ray L. Christensen, Conference Report, April 1962, pages 32-34. My brothers and sisters, as I sought to determine what I might appropriately speak about at this time, my mind seemed to be driven and impelled to speak on a commandment which God gave to the children of Israel a long, long time ago. I humbly pray that I may say something on this topic that will be encouraging to all of us. When the Lord created the earth as an abode for His children, He placed upon it all the necessary essentials for their physical needs: the light and the warmth of the sun, the seasons, the fertile soil from which to obtain food and raiment and shelter, and at the same time and with equal concern, He made provision for the spiritual needs of His children and for the development of man. Among the provisions made for man's spiritual goal was the gift of the Sabbath day, for He said to Moses, "For the Lord hath given you the Sabbath." 3,000 years ago this commandment was given to the children of Israel: "Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor, and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God." Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. In modern revelation He has commanded the saints to observe His holy day by attending their meetings, offering their oblations before the Lord, and as they partake of the sacrament to make covenant with Him that they will take upon them His name and keep His commandments. The reason for these requirements made by the Lord is plainly stated in the revelation in these words: "That thou mayest more fully keep thyself unspotted from the world." The laws and the commandments of God are given to us, not to deny us the right to do what we are wont to do, but rather to provide us with a sure way to obtain peace and happiness and success. For, according to the book of Proverbs, the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Accompanying each commandment is the promise of a blessing, either specified or implied. What is the promise made to those who observe the Sabbath day? The Lord declares that inasmuch as they do this with cheerful hearts and countenances, the fullness of the earth is theirs. All things that are made for the benefit and use of men, to please the eye and to gladden the heart and to strengthen the body and give peace to the soul. There was a time in my day when it seemed to me that almost all people, at least those with whom I was acquainted, considered the Sabbath day as a holy day, a day entirely different from the other days. But too often now it seems that we consider it just a part of the weekend, and thus many people do not look upon it as a holy day. We must not permit ourselves to think of the Sabbath day as a day on which to transact business of any kind. We must not think of the Sabbath day as a day on which to catch up with our work. We must not permit ourselves to use the Sabbath for amusements or for outings or for participating in or attending sporting events as such. The devil is not satisfied with just a little wrongdoing. He follows through and persists in gaining his ends by having us think that it is all right to sin a little, but he knows very well that a little sin seldom stays little. In the words of Nephi, "Thus the devil cheateth their souls, and letteth them carefully down to hell." On a number of occasions when I have been returning from conferences, I have met on the highway a great number of automobiles. In many of these were families apparently returning to their homes on the early Sunday evening. Attached to a good number of these cars were beautiful boats. Now, ordinarily, we do not take boats to church, so one must conclude that these fine people had not been to church, nor were they on their way to church. I wonder if it is wise. Well, I can say positively, it is not wise for parents to take their children away from their appointed places of worship on the Sabbath day, where they may learn the gospel and where they may become fortified to face life through increased faith, trust, and confidence in the Lord, and require their children to go with them on the Sabbath day to spend the day on the reservoir or at some other place of amusement. Such practices may seriously impair and affect the lives of these children and perhaps the lives of their children. In fairness to our children and to ourselves, we must go to the house of prayer on His holy day as the commandment requires. An acquaintance of mine had purchased a lovely boat and had just finished varnishing it and painting it. When I stopped by, he was admiring it. I surmised that he was getting it ready to take it, with his family, to the reservoir the next Sunday. He said, "It is complete and in readiness except for one thing." Then he asked me, "Could you suggest an appropriate name for the boat?" I knew him very well. I thought for a moment, and then I said, "Well, perhaps you should name it the Sabbath Breaker." He looked at me, and he understood. A father was speaking to a gathering in connection with one of the state conferences in Wyoming, which I attended. This man had, for some time, taken his family away from home on the Sabbath. When they were returning from one trip on a Sunday evening, one of his little girls in a thoughtful mood, said to him, "Daddy, when can we stay home on Sunday with our friends and go to Sunday school and sacrament meeting?" The father, suddenly realizing what he was doing to his children, replied with determination, Honey, we will stay home next Sunday and every other Sunday, and we will go to church, all five of us. I regret that I do not know who composed these lines. A Sabbath well spent brings a week of content and help for the cares of tomorrow, but a Sabbath profaned, whatever the gain, is a sure forerunner of sorrow. What regret there will be for those of us who knowingly ignore this beneficent law of the sacred Sabbath. Some of us may live to realize the fact that the Sabbath profaned, whatever be gained, is a sure forerunner of sorrow. With joy we ought to sing the song, "Welcome, welcome, Sabbath morning, now we rest from every care. Welcome, welcome, is thy dawning, holy Sabbath, day of prayer." My brothers and sisters, it is well that we pray to the Lord that among nations peace may be maintained, but I know and you know that we must, as individuals, add to our prayers obedience to the commandments if our supplications are to be efficacious. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths, and reverence my sanctuary, I am the Lord, if ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Must we not learn that the blessing of peace and all other blessings we seek from God come through observing laws set forth in His commandments? This is made plain in the Doctrine Covenants in these words which familiar, "There is a law, irrevocably decreed in heaven before the foundations of this world, upon which blessings are predicated, and when we obtain any bless from God, it is by obedience to the law upon which it is predicated." As he stood upon the deck of battleship Missouri in Yokohama Bay, when Japan surrendered, General Douglas MacArthur made this significant declaration: "If we do not devise some greater and equitable system, Armageddon will be upon us." The problem is basically theological and involves spiritual renaissance in character. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh. That each of us help to bring about this spiritual renaissance by making sure that we and ours keep holy the Sabbath day. I pray humbly, in the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.